This is the Black and Blue Report presented by ABC Insurance Agencies, a better choice for insurance. Now from Studio B, or wherever the Saints or Pelicans might be, here's Daniel Sellerson.
What's up? Welcome into the Tuesday edition of the Black and Blue Report. I'm Daniel Sellerson. Hope this Tuesday finds you well. I'm here from Studio B on the campus of the Saints and the Pelicans, and it's a Pelicans game day as they welcome in the Portland Trail Blazers. A big game for the Pelicans tonight, as the Trail Blazers are one of the teams in front of New Orleans, racing for that eighth spot in the Western Conference. They'll play the Portland Trail Blazers two more times, including tonight. So this is where it starts tonight, as head coach Alvin Gentry said at practice yesterday. This week is it. If they don't play well, then their playoff hopes are probably done. But if they play well this week, then they'll keep themselves alive here through the final 12 or so games. So 16 more to go. Pelicans are 5 games back of the Nuggets for that 8th and final playoff spot, but still have 3 more games left to go with Denver. So if you can hang around that spot when you play them on March 26th, then you could be okay. But 3 out of 4 at home this week, 4 out of 5 total at home. The only game on the road is Miami tomorrow night, and they're playing as well as any team in the NBA. I believe they're 21-4 in their last 25, a team that started 11-30. And now they're fighting for the 8th spot in the Eastern Conference. We'll hear from Jim Eichenhofer today from Pelicans.com. He'll kind of get preview tonight's game and also go over Saturday's big win over the Hornets, which saw Anthony Davis drop 46 points and 21 rebounds in the win on his 24th birthday. We'll also hear from one of the newest Saints, A.J. Klein, who talked to me last week after signing a deal with New Orleans, coming from Carolina, backing up Luke Kuechly last year. Started some games for him, when he was injured. Great guy, and you'll hear that interview as well today. Also, if you are a historian, 11 years ago today, Mr. Drew Brees, number 9, signed with the New Orleans Saints 11 years ago today. Hard to believe, and I think that signing turned out okay. That's just my opinion. But nonetheless, a very exciting day here and a very exciting anniversary for Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints. Also, best of luck tonight to the UNO Privateers men's basketball, playing in one of the first 4 games. They'll take on Mount St. Mary's tonight, and if they win, they're rewarded with the defending champion Villanova Wildcats on Thursday. So we wish Coach Schlesinger and the UNO Privateers some luck tonight. They'll play, I believe it's around 7 o'clock Central, maybe a little earlier, on, I think, True TV, and we'll be rooting for them, and hopefully they can get an NCAA tournament win under their belt. All right, let's get started on today's show. So coming up next, we'll hear from A.J. Klein, newest linebacker for the Saints, and then Jim Eichenhofer from Pelicans.com will preview tonight's game against the Blazers. Stay with us. You're listening to the Black and Blue Report.
The future is bright for your New Orleans Pelicans with the addition of all-star DeMarcus Cousins, along with Anthony Davis and Drew Holiday. The time is now to become a Pelican season ticket holder. Those locking in their seats by Friday, March 31st, will take advantage of the price freeze and also receive a food and beverage gift card worth up to $600. Call 504-525-HOOP or visit Pelicans.com today and win the night.
We all know Saints fans are humble, hardworking, likable, and the most devoted fans in the league. All of that takes energy. The energy you get from a warm bowl of Campbell's Chunky Soup. Its meaty goodness fuels the greatness of Saints fans everywhere. Try the delicious Chunky Chicken and Sausage Gumbo. Just visit your local supermarket and ask for Campbell's Chunky Soup, the hearty way to fuel your game, and the official soup of the New Orleans Saints.
We're talking Saints football on the Black and Blue Report.
Welcome into the Black and Blue Report. Daniel Sellerson here, along with the newest member of the New Orleans Saints, A.J. Klein. First, A.J., welcome to New Orleans.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Happy to be here.
So let's talk about your decision to choose New Orleans. Why was New Orleans the destination for you?
Well, even though I played versus the Saints the last 4 years in the division, I think the one thing that attracted me was the dome, the fans. Actually connected with Roman Harper and asked him his opinion on how his last 10 so years here in New Orleans has been, and he said nothing but good things, and that attracted me, and I know I'm wanted here, and I feel like I can make an impact here.
Well, is this place the toughest place to play, one of the toughest places you played in as far as an opponent standpoint?
I think so. Being an opponent and playing here is tough. I mean, when the Saints are rolling and they start that Hoodat chant, I mean, it's an intimidating place to play, and it's been a lot of fun to compete here for the last 4 years.
Is it a little weird, though, going from one South NFC South team to another? Because a lot of these teams are rivals with each other.
Yeah.
Does that factor in at all, or is it just kind of a weird situation going from one team to another?
For me, it's not a weird situation. Yeah. I've been obviously playing, and football to me has been a business, my profession, my passion. So, I mean, it's tough to leave a place that you've been for 4 years and kind of, like people say, switch sides, go to the bad team, or whatever you want to call it. But for me, it's another opportunity for me, another step in my career. And I'm welcoming New Orleans with open arms, and I'm happy to be here.
I know they'll welcome you with open arms, that's for sure. So when you were meeting with Mickey Loomis, Sean Payne, what do they envision your role being here when they talk to you?
Well, I know here, I mean, I'm not sure where I'm going to fit yet.
Right.
I played all four positions in Carolina, and I just want to be an impact. I want to have an impact on this defense and be a playmaker for this defense. And whether that's being at an outside backer or a mic backer is to be determined. But we'll get that figured out once OTAs and stuff start. But I'm going to do my best to try to learn this defense as quickly as I can and be ready to go when those first days of pads come on.
You also played special teams in Carolina. Did you like playing special teams when you were there? What did you like about that?
Yeah, I like playing special teams. One, because it's an integral part of the game. People don't necessarily know the hidden yardage that is made up or lost in the special teams game. So it's a battle. And when you spend as much time on it as I've had to the last 4 years, you really start to respect it more than necessarily I did in college, because I didn't have to play it in college as much. But it's important. And I think to find a team and players that are passionate about playing that role is important for a team success.
What's the difference in preparation for when you're preparing to go in as a linebacker than when you're also doing special teams, as far as you're leading up to the week? You know, you're practicing all week. What are the differences in preparation between doing special teams and then just being linebacker?
I think it's not totally different. Yeah. Obviously, you have to divvy up your time a little bit. You still have to spend time watching your tape as a linebacker, but you can get things off of tape from special teams, and especially looking at those one-on-one matchups, you know who you're going to match up against every single week, and try to study that person as best as you can to be prepared for the game. It's just like defense, but it's more of a narrowed focus.
Now, you played behind Luke Kuechly and Thomas Davis when you were with Carolina. What was that like as far as learning from those two guys?
First of all, I mean, we had a great room in Carolina, great guys, and I can't speak highly enough of Luke and Thomas and Shaq and all of these guys in the room, Ben and Jared. But when opportunity comes to knock, and I'm excited for this opportunity, but to learn from those two from when I first got there has been a pleasure, and I've learned a lot from them. I learned a lot of studying tape and just learn how to be a ball player. I mean, I felt like I played pretty good ball in college, but you never really understand until you get to the pro level. And Thomas is now going into, his 13th year?
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about a pro's pro and a guy that's been through the ringer and battled injury. And it definitely lays his heart on the line every time he steps on the field. It's been a pleasure to play with him. And Luke, you don't have to say much about.
Yeah.
The best linebacker in the NFL. And that's... that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
I mean, people can try to debate it if they want, but there is no debate. And to be able to play behind him and be one of his good friends, it's been a great 4 years.
So what's the biggest advice or anything that you've learned from them specifically? There's anything that one piece of advice that Thomas or Luke gave you that kind of sticks out, or anything off the field, just your relationship with them? What kind of sticks out as far as maybe some advice that they've given you throughout the years?
One, I think Thomas, it's not necessarily like a certain piece of advice,
right,
but I know Thomas would speak to the defense and speak to the team before every game. And for him, especially going through his three ACLs and going through all the injuries he's had, he's blessed to have made it this long in the NFL, and we're all blessed to be in the position that we're in. So his piece of advice is, play every down like it's your last, because you never know when it might be actually your last. And I asked him actually halfway through the season last year, I was like, man, how'd you make it 12 years, 13 years going in? He's like, man, honestly, it's been a blink of an eye. So he said, enjoy it while it lasts, because for him, it's been 13 years. He said it's gone by in a blink of an eye. It's going to be gone anytime soon.
As far as relationships, you mentioned Roman Harper being one of the guys that spoke to you. Is there anyone else on this team that you know personally or have been around, or what do you know about the makeup of this ball club right now?
Well, I know just playing against this ball club for the past 4 years, competitive, and it's been a rivalry between Carolina and the Saints every single year, and every game comes down to the wire, it seems. I don't know many people personally from this squad or this team, but hopefully I'll gel quickly, and I'm going to try to get down here as soon as I can once I get living situations set up and be around this facility and be around the team and try to learn everybody's names as quickly as possible. But no, Roman's a great guy, and like I said, the advice he gave me earlier definitely drew me down here.
Besides coming here for games every year, how familiar are you with the city of New Orleans? Have you been here besides just your trips here?
Never. I've never vacationed or taken a trip here. I've only been here on business for games, so I'm excited to see what the city of New Orleans has to offer. I know there's a lot of good food, good places to eat, a lot of history and stuff to take in, so I'll do some exploring this spring, and I'll figure out the city slowly but surely.
Anything in particular that you've heard that people have said, oh, you've got to go here, or oh, you've got to try this, or do something? Has anyone told you specifics yet, or is it more just kind of getting settled in?
More just general get settled in, but I know I just missed Mardi Gras.
Yes, he did.
And people always say that's the best time of the year, or one of the best events that happens here in New Orleans. So unfortunately missed that, but I'll be around for 3 more years. Yep. So
what's the goals for the offseason? What are you trying to work on personally as far as on-the-field stuff? What is your offseason like from here until you guys get into camp?
Well, from here until we get into camp, one, rehab my body, get my body back. I know I had a longer offseason this year compared to the years past because of not making the playoffs last year. But focus on my body, get healthy, strong, get my body weight back up and where I need to be in playing shape. And then get the playbook. I mean, I'm going to get the playbook as soon as I can and crack that thing open and try to learn it as fast as I can so I can be familiar with it and like I said, be an asset as quickly as possible.
All right, that's A.J. Klein, newest linebacker for the New Orleans Saints. A.J., welcome. We appreciate it. I'm sure we'll see you down the road.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, we'll be right back.
Are you ready for a new challenge? Set your goal and go for it with the Smoothie King Change a Meal Challenge. Just change one meal a day with over 20 delicious meal replacement smoothies, all under 400 calories per 20-ounce cup, and sip your way to your goal weight. With flavors like pineapple mango, strawberry blueberry, dark chocolate banana, and more, it's easier than ever to reach for your goal. Take the Change a Meal Challenge, only at Smoothie King. Smoothies with a purpose. Take the challenge as part of a low-calorie diet and daily exercise program. Weight loss depends on individual needs.
You're at a dinner party. You're seated next to a loudmouth. Plus, there's no bread. Why is there no bread? Myrtle, the family chow chow, seems very interested in you. But you're allergic to Myrtle, and you left your inhaler at home. But it doesn't have to be this way. Win the night with the New Orleans Pelicans, facing off against the Houston Rockets Friday, March 17th. Bring your whole clan and celebrate St. Patrick's Day with the Pels. Visit Pelicans.com for tickets and win the night.
Ochsner believes the best way to predict the future is to invent it. Here, our doctors and staff are changing lives day after day.
Every week, I'm operating on babies who are days old with hearts smaller than walnuts. We're giving these kids a life they wouldn't otherwise have, a chance to grow up.
Sometimes cancer patients come who were told they were out of options, but Ochsner has the most clinical trials in the state. It's amazing to be able to give second chances.
We're always a step ahead, even with simple things, like getting you in to see a doctor today versus a week from now, so what you have doesn't become something bigger. It makes a difference.
Every day, Ochsner is creating a better future by looking forward and thinking differently to find life-changing solutions. That's healthcare with peace of mind. Appointments are available today. Call 866-OCHSNER or visit ochsner.org.
It's Pelicans game day. This is the Black and Blue Report.
All right, good stuff there from A.J. Klein. Now time to focus on the Pelicans as they welcome in the Portland Trail Blazers tonight at the Smoothie King Center. Joining me now in Studio B, as he always does on Tuesdays, is Jim Eichenhofer from Pelicans.com. Jim, it is National Pie Day since it is March 14th. And so before we start, you have to recite all the digits in pie. Can you go?
3, 0.1479261.
Are you just making up numbers?
Yes.
Okay.
After the first few, I did.
I was kind of impressed after. I thought you were really going with it and couldn't figure it out. But all right. Not bad. Not bad. We'll start off with some Pelicans talk here. Let's talk about Saturday's win against the Charlotte Hornets, a 125-122 win in overtime, which saw a lot of crazy stuff go down, I would say, as far as the stretches where we had some runs, some ties, some, you know, lead changes. But most impressive was Anthony Davis on his birthday, 46 points and 21 rebounds. And we were talking about it before we started here that I would think his 59-point game against Detroit last year was probably his greatest game in his career. But does this rank up there as his second? 46 points, 21 rebounds. I know he had 50 earlier this year in an opening night loss, but in a win, do you feel like this was his, maybe his second best performance of his career?
It might be. I think in terms of him taking over a game and repeatedly coming up with big shots and big plays at the end of a close game, this might be number one. I think the one difference between this game and the Detroit game was the Pistons game was, it was like a constant heat check. He was making everything. It could be off balance. It could be with a guy in his face. It didn't matter. He was, you know, pretty much everything he put up was going in. This game to me was a little bit more of that. He did a great job of working himself into position to get really good shots, especially around the basket. But at the same time, he also made 4 3-pointers, which was his career high. And a couple of those were in crucial spots where, I think 3 of his baskets overall were to tie the game, and 3 of them were, it was tied, and his score was the go-ahead basket at that point in the game. So to me, what stood out the most about this performance was just how so many times when they were in a situation where they needed a score, he was the one that came up with it.
As far as team is concerned, 125 points, which is the most in the season, or this season, but I believe that's also in overtime regulation. Mm-hmm. They scored 124 against the Cavs, but after All-Star break, is this the best offensive game for this team so far?
I think so. I mean, part of the answer there is that there's been a lot of games that have been down offensively lately, so the bar wasn't really hugely high based on the way they've been playing lately. But yeah, I would say it was the biggest thing to me that stood out offensively was just that you got so many contributions from so many guys. There's been some games where it's been 2 or 3 guys that have been in double figures. And actually, I'd say a lot of the games lately, there's been 3 guys in double figures and not much more than that beyond that. So to get Solomon Hill to play the way he did offensively and overall, and Dante Cunningham and a few of the other guys, it was huge, and it was great to see just across the board. That's really the only way. As much as the Pelicans have 3 guys that can score at the top of the roster, you still need a bunch of contributions to get to 125 points in a game.
I'm glad you mentioned Solomon Hill, because he did have a really nice game against the Charlotte Hornets. And I feel like Jimmy would agree with this, that if you took his game film from this game and the Memphis game right before the All-Star break, this is a Solomon Hill you want to see every night. A guy that was attacking the basket, going to the free throw line, converting at the basket, and also hitting some shots. How much does that change when Solomon Hill is on like he was on Saturday?
Yeah, he said it himself after the game on Saturday that it's something that he needs to, you know, make a conscious effort of doing. Sometimes he gets in the mode where he does become too reliant on those spot-up threes. I think from what I've watched this season, sometimes it's easy to get into that. It's easy to get comfortable into the mode of just taking those, because he gets a lot of open ones. And of course, that's easier than trying to drive through the defense and get to the basket sometimes. But by doing that, by getting to the rim and getting some dunks and some layups and even some free throw attempts like he had in that Memphis game, it just seems like it opens up so much more. And the other team has to honor, you know, everything he does, instead of just say, okay, well, he's going to shoot threes and we don't have to worry about him on drives.
Let's focus on the rest of the week and tonight. We'll start with the rest of the week. You have 3 out of 4 games at home. Take on the Trailblazers tonight. A very hot Miami team tomorrow night in Miami. Then at home against a really good Houston team, and a game against the Timberwolves on Sunday afternoon. Alvin Gentry said it best, I think, yesterday in his practice press conference, that this week is it. This is it for them as far as playoff hopes. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I definitely do. Part of the way I look at it right now is that there's 16 games left. In the last 10 games of the season, you play Denver 3 times. you want to be within three or four games at the very least of Denver by the time you go into that segment to be able to say you have a chance. I think it's next, is it next Friday, I think, is the game against Denver.
Two Fridays from now, right.
Not 3 days from now, 10 days from now, basically. But going into that last 10 games where you play Denver three times, I think if you're still five or six games out, you really don't have a chance. So to me, they're 5.5 games out as we speak right now. You need to chip that down to like three or four so that going into that last stretch, you can still have the conversation. I'm not even talking about like making the playoffs right now at all. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about getting to being able to say you still have a chance when you head into that those last 10 games. And to me, that's what this next stretch of five or six games coming up is about, is being able to get closer to give yourself a chance of still being in it.
And forget about Denver right now too. You still have three other teams that you're trying to jump in: Dallas, Portland, and Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Two of those teams you play this week, and we still have two more against Portland, including tonight. So not only is it an important week, but tonight could be a deciding factor as well.
Sure. And you know, one thing I looked at already today was, and this is getting pretty deep into the situation in the conversation, maybe too deep for some people's taste at this point when you have so many things that need to go your way. But they, realistically, if you look at the numbers, they have to win tonight and they have to beat Portland the last day of the season to have the tiebreaker against Portland. So that's another thing that you look at, like another reason why tonight's game is so huge in terms of, you know, you could look at all these teams individually and say like, okay, what do we have to do to overtake Denver? Well, you play them three more times. What do you have to do to overtake Portland? You play them twice, but you have to win both of them, really, because Portland has so much better conference record than New Orleans does right now that the Pelicans have to win the season series. It's almost impossible for them to have the tiebreaker against Portland if Portland wins either of these last two head-to-head matchups. So there's a lot of things that you could look at and say, like, I mean, as Calvin Gentry said yesterday, this is it, and there's just so little margin for error right now. You have to win a huge chunk of these games to have any chance of staying in the race.
I said with 17 games to go that realistically 13-4 was probably your best bet. And so you got off a good start with a win in Charlotte. But we talk about tiebreakers. Let's ask the Oklahoma City Thunder 2 years ago how important tiebreakers are. Sure. When the Pelicans got into the playoffs based on their season series against them.
Yeah, I mean, the games that are not all, the games like tonight, it's really three games. It's the game that you win, the loss that the other team gets, and potentially the tiebreaker. So, I mean, it's three outcomes in one game a lot of times with these head-to-head matchups.
So let's talk about the Portland Trailblazers tonight. What are some of the challenges you face when facing them? Obviously, the two-headed monster at guard is probably one of the biggest things to do, but what is it about the Blazers that they've been kind of off and on? At the beginning of the year, you thought, all right, they're doing all right. Then they had a really long losing skid, mm-hmm. and they've been pretty inconsistent all year long, but obviously still a very dangerous team.
They've been the team going back maybe 2 months, maybe longer than that, that I think everyone, including me, kept looking at and saying, okay, they're going to get it together at some point. They're going to be the team that is the one that you have to worry about the most as far as being the eighth seed. Denver's taken that mantle basically lately because they've been playing so well. But obviously, you touched on it with Portland. And the thing you always have to worry about the most is Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum, one of the best backcourts in the NBA, probably like top three or top four. You know, you got Golden State, you got Washington, and a couple other teams, but they're pretty close. They're pretty much right there. But I think they've been playing better lately. They've been kind of going back in a peak instead of a valley. I think some of it is the trade for Yusuf Nurkic. He's been really good. And I think one thing that I'll be watching people could pay attention to over this next stretch of games starting tonight is that there's a lot of good center matchups coming up lately that DeMarcus Cousins is going to be involved in. You have Nurkic tonight, who's really emerging. He had a 28-20 game the other night. You have Hassan Whiteside Wednesday in Miami. Clint Capella is not regarded as a great guy, but he's been given the Pelicans trouble as far as finishing at the rim Friday for Houston, and then Sunday you have Karl Anthony Towns, and then next Tuesday you have Marc Gasol with Memphis. So there's a lot of really good matchups, I think, at center, that and Nurkic is definitely one of those guys that people have started to pay close attention to just because he's been playing so well since he joined Portland.
All right, before I let you go, then, what are some of the keys tonight? I know obviously stopping McCollum and Lillard will be a big one, but as far as maybe certain things that have to get done in order to get a win, one or some of those things.
I think one thing that they did Saturday that they need to keep doing was keeping the turnovers down. I think they only had 10 in that game.
They did.
So that's one thing. And also just the overall, another thing that they need to repeat from the Charlotte game is just to have a lot more balance. They've had a lot of the losses lately, they've ended up in the 80s and 90s scoring-wise. And I think Portland is one of the worst defensive teams in the league. So you can't end up – but they're very good offensively. You can't end up with 95 points against them. You need to be able to get into the 100s and have a bunch of different guys score for you so that you're not you don't want to get into a situation where you're scratching and clawing to score points against these guys.
Yeah, Pelicans are 23-17 when scoring 100 or more, just 2 wins when scoring under 100. So I think the century mark is at least a good start if you want to have a shot at winning. That's Jim Eichenhofer from Pelicans.com. Jim, I appreciate the time. We won't have you on post-game show tonight due to travel to Miami, but hopefully let's get a win. How about a couple wins?
Sounds good. Need every single one of them at this point.
No doubt about that. When we come back, I'll wrap up this Tuesday edition of the Black and Blue Report.
The future is bright for your New Orleans Pelicans with the addition of all-star DeMarcus Cousins, along with Anthony Davis and Jrue Holiday. The time is now to become a Pelican season ticket holder. Those locking in their seats by Friday, March 31st, will take advantage of the price freeze and also receive a food and beverage gift card worth up to $600. Call 504-525-HOOP or visit Pelicans.com today and win the night.
We all know Saints fans are humble, hardworking, likable, and the most devoted fans in the league. All of that takes energy. The energy you get from a warm bowl of Campbell's Chunky Soup. Its meaty goodness fuels the greatness of Saints fans everywhere. Try the delicious Chunky Chicken and Sausage Gumbo. Just visit your local Winn-Dixie and ask for Campbell's Chunky Soup. The hearty way to fuel your game. And the official soup of the New Orleans Saints.
Want each show delivered right to your iPhone or iPad? Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes by searching Black and Blue Report.
Great show today. Big thanks to AJ Klein and Jim Eichenhofer for coming on today's show. Again, Pelicans and Blazers tonight from the Smoothie King Center. I'll have Pelicans warm up for you starting at 6:30, followed by the game at 7 on the radio. News Talk 99.5 WRNO and the Pelicans Radio Network. Sean Kelly and John DeShazer will have that call. Also, coverage starts at 6:30 on Fox Sports New Orleans. Then Joel Myers, David Wesley, and Jen Hale will have the call there on the television screen. So, after tonight, Pelicans will take on the Heat, and then again Friday against the Rockets, and Sunday against the Timberwolves. On tomorrow's show, we'll be hopefully recapping a win with David Wesley of Fox Sports New Orleans. It is a Wesley Wednesday. And we'll hear from Nick Fairley, who just signed a 4-year deal with the New Orleans Saints after having one of his best years in his career. We'll talk about that and plenty more. Sean Kelly will be your host from Miami, Florida, and we'll hope to hear from you tomorrow. And again, that'll do it for today's show. Big thanks to Jim Eichenhofer and AJ Klein. Have a great rest of your Tuesday.
Thanks for listening to this edition of the Black and Blue Report, presented by ABC Insurance Agencies. A better choice for insurance. If all goes well, we'll be back tomorrow. Tune in each weekday at noon Central or at your convenience exclusively online at Pelicans.com and NewOrleansSaints.com. Follow your teams direct from the source, the Black and Blue Report.